The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, ladies. Now, I'm not going to be long tonight if you say amen. Hey, you guys are crazy. Hey, you want me to leave right now, don't you? You know, it's funny when Brother and Mrs. Antonis came and they joined the church this morning. They've been watching live stream for about a year and a half. And it's really been neat to see how God has worked in their heart. And what is very also neat about our church is different ones that has pastored over the years have come and joined our church. And to me, that's such a blessing to be able to be a pastor of pastors and to be able to love them and be able to encourage them and be able to walk beside them and watch them continue to serve Christ. I know Brother York is in the hospital right now, and of course we mentioned that yesterday. I mentioned he's in our Sunday school class. We love Brother and Mrs. York, and he has inflammation around the heart, fluid, if you will, around the heart, and just great-spirited people. And God has just been so, so wonderful to be able to bless us with individuals that love the Lord and that come here. I know we're praying for so many different ones as God works in their lives and asking God to help them. Look at Matthew chapter 18. I'd like to speak tonight on little me, big God. Little me, big God. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. The Bible says, "And at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now, you have to understand, the disciples are the ones that traveled beside our Lord, saw miracle after miracle after miracle, saw Jesus be able to perform those miracles, and now they're coming with a question, I believe probably a very sincere question, and just wondering, perhaps, maybe comparing themselves among themselves. Of course, we know this, that if they were comparing themselves among themselves, the Bible says, that's not wise, but we do know that perhaps maybe they were doing that. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And Jesus called," it says, "a little child unto him, and he set him in the midst of them." So here they are, surrounding the Lord. Disciples are there, saying, "Just got a question for you. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Maybe they're thinking about themselves as they're asking that question. Here Jesus is going to teach them an example. Calls a little child out in the midst of them, and he says, let's look at this little child. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, the Bible says, "And he said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." Look at verse 4, the Bible says, "And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest," watch this, "the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." I've seen many proud people that will hold on to their pride all the way to hell. What a sad thing. Many people think that if I'm good enough, if I do enough religious activity, if I become somebody, if you would please, that studies, and I become devout and maybe a religious persuasion, then I'll be able to merit heaven. Can I tell you? The Bible is true. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Doesn't say, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of themselves." I said a few weeks ago, there's a prevalent thing that is practiced in several churches around the Dallas metro where people baptize, pastors baptize, name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the pastor. That's not scriptural. That's not right. Bible says we're supposed to baptize name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Now, can I tell you, it's better to obey the Bible than not obey the Bible. God gave you a Bible to love. He gave you a Bible to obey. He gave you a Bible to be able to guide you through life. Now, you're going to have some uh-ohs. You're going to have some things that come in your life. You're going to have some things, maybe grave things that come in your life. Best thing you could ever do in the world is to keep your focus on Christ. Here we see that these perhaps that are gathered are saying, hey, among us, who's going to be the greatest in heaven? By the way, these were great men of God. Let's not belittle them. These were great men of God. These were men of God that God was going to use in a great fashion to be able to get the gospel out to the ends of the world. And yet, perhaps they themselves are thinking that Christ is going to point to one of them, maybe say, okay, John, it's going to be you. Maybe one of them thought it's going to be me, and it might have been Matthew. And Matthew said, man, it's going to be me. He's going to choose me. I just know it. He's going to choose me. You know, maybe that's the attitude that was in that particular arena at that time. I don't know. I know this, that most Christians I talk to operate in the sense of it's 80% about them and 20% about Christ. Now, can I tell you, that's operating at a wrong level. It ought to be all about Christ and not anything about you. Here we see in verse 1 in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus did not rebuke them. Jesus didn't say, what are you talking about? By the way, Jesus even knew the intents of their heart. We understand that. He knew, if you would please, why they're asking the question that they were going to be asking even before they uttered it. But yet, he didn't rebuke them. He's going to use it as a teaching time. And so, by the way, he's the one that walked on the water. They saw it. He's the one that calmed the raging sea. They saw it. He's the one that raised the dead. They saw it. They saw all the miracles that Christ, the Savior of the world, did perform. And that he's coming now and he's telling them, here's the greatest is going to be in heaven is those that are like little children. By the way, little children ought to be protected in every church. Amen. Little children ought to be protected on every bus route. Yes. Little children ought to be protected in every Sunday school class. Yes. Little children ought to be protected in society. Here's what God says. God says, as he's pointing to those little children, he's saying, I'm saying this. Here are these men gathering around and saying, oh, what about me? What about me? What about me? And God, through his son, is saying, hey, you have to become like one of these little children. By the way, little children have little minds. That's why when we go soul winning, we talk to them on their level. They don't understand words like justification, glorification. I don't understand that. Most of you don't understand that. So we have to bring it down to their level. We have to talk to them so they can understand. I talk to soul winners all the time. I said, when you're talking to a child, make sure that the child understands it on childlike level. Talk to them like you'd have somebody that would talk to your child, okay? And so here's what he says. He said, you have to have the mindset of a little child. Brings the little child as an example of what they should be like. It's not great talents that God recognizes. And thank God for the talents. Man, thank God for those that can get up and use their talents for God. It'd be better to use your talents for God than for the devil. It'd be better to use your talents for God than for the world. Hey, listen, maybe you sang in a nightclub years ago, but now you're saved. Here's what you could do. Maybe you could use that same talent for God. Used it all those years for the devil. Why not use it for God? Got a great personality. God's blessed you with that. By the way, if you have a great personality, it's because God blessed you with that. You have a certain stature about you. You have a certain ability about you. We have several business owners that's in our church that do quite well with their businesses. Hey, always thank God that God's given you the ability to be able to use the features, the elements, the person, and the members of your person for God's honor and for God's glory. Never get high-minded about it. Never get heady about it. Never begin to think, man, it's because of me that I am a success. No, no, no. You could wind up in the bed tomorrow. Yes. It's all because of God. It's all because of God working in our lives. So here's the question. They come and they say, hey, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who's it going to be? No doubt in this setting, possibly talking about themselves. And Jesus brings this little child, puts the little child in the midst. He didn't say, let me tell you about this little child. They're a genius. Didn't say it. He didn't say, let me tell you about this little child. They're a mathematician. Didn't say it. Let me tell you about this child. They know chemistry. Did not say it. He's just bringing a little child and he said, unless you be humble like this little child, then you'll never even be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I think the thing that keeps people out of heaven more than anything else is pride. I met many people who said, well, I'm working on it. Can't. Well, I'm trying. You can't. No, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's only through the blood of Jesus. By the way, you can get excited about that on a rainy day. You can get excited about that on a hot summer day in Dallas, Texas area. You can get excited about that when you're sitting in traffic for 45 minutes as you're trying to go a quarter of a mile. Hey, I'm saying this. I'm saying that Jesus is not interested in the talent. Jesus is interested in you. He cares about you. He loves you. He wants you to be the one that will step up and do what he wants you to do. There's an interesting story about Solomon. Here's Solomon in a dream. You'll see that he all of a sudden is asking the Lord some things. And the Bible talks about that in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 6. The Bible says, and Solomon said, he says, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according to how he had walked before thee in truth, in righteousness, in uprightness of heart, says with thee, and thou hast kept him. It says, in this great kindness. Oh, listen to this. Kept him in this great kindness that thou has given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day. He said, look, it's because of my father that I'm here. Understand that Solomon, as he's sitting on the throne, Solomon had 700,000 horsemen alone. That's not foot soldiers. That's 700,000 horsemen alone. Understand the empire in which he ruled was magnificent. Understand that his word was law. There was no election. There was nobody's going to run against him. He's the king. There is nobody that's going to rise up. His word was the greatest of all the kingdom. But yet he has a request. Look at it. 1 Kings chapter 3, or listen to it, verse 8. The Bible says, in thy servant, it says, in the midst of all the people thou hast chosen, says a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. He said, here I am. I'm sitting in front of all these people. There's so many of them, Solomon said. You just can't even count them. There's so many of them. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 7, here's what the Bible says. And now it says, O Lord, it says, my God, thou hast made thy servant, instead of the father, it says, of David, my father, and I am, it says, but a little child. I know not how to go out and come in. He said, here I am. Here's what you've done. You've taken a little child. Now, he's a grown man. He's a man of great stature physically, but yet he says, I don't understand it. He said, you've taken me as a little child. You've lifted me up. You've asked me to walk in the footsteps of somebody that was great, somebody that was a giant. He said, I just don't understand it. Can I tell you, as long as he understood that he was like a little child, God was going to use him. As long as he understood that as a little child, having that relationship with his heavenly father. Now, how is it tonight that you and I can be individuals where you look at you and see you as a little me and God as a big God? How can you do that? Let me give you three things that will help you tonight. Statement number one, stand always in awe of your father. Stand always in awe of your father. You know, a little child, can I tell you, they just look up to their daddy. I remember when our children, three of the boys are married. Rebecca's not yet married. I always do this when I preach off in conferences. I said, if you want to see my daughter's picture, depending on what country I preach in, I say, I'll show it to you for 5 pesos. I'll let you stare at it for 10. If you want to marry her, I'll marry you over the internet for 50. 50. You know, I'm always kidding with her, okay? But can I tell you, all of her children are grown. But we remember when they were little children. When they were little children, here's what would happen when they get a boo-boo, a scratch. They come running in, and they say, Daddy! I begin to pray for them. And because I pointed them to somebody stronger than I, who was their heavenly father, all of a sudden the tears begin to go away. I think sometimes what happens in churches, I think sometimes what happens, yes, and even rearing our children, we spend a lot of time pointing them to us rather than reflecting the Lord. Because we point them to us instead of reflecting the Lord, what happens is this. All of a sudden, when the daddy disappointed someone or somebody like that, now they say, well, I tell you what, I don't want to serve their God. Because it was all about the dad. It was all about the mom. It was all about, hey, shouldn't it be all about Jesus Christ? Shouldn't we be taking the time? You know why children grow up today and they start to doubt God? It might be because dad put so much emphasis on him that it covered up God. It should be about the Lord. You should be praying with your children. You should be spending time with your children. You should be taking the scriptures and teaching your children. You should teach them the word of God so that later on they can make that which is principally driven decisions that will help to guide them through the rest of the days of their life. I'm saying this. I'm saying we ought to stand in awe of our Father. You've heard me say this. In the Bible, God talks about you as a little child. Little children, he talks about you as young children. Nowhere in the Bible does it talk about you as an adult. Why? Because God wants you always to rely on him. Amen. When you get in a car, before you take a trip, be good to pray. Amen. Say, dear Father, we want to please you on the trip. Please give us wisdom as we travel and protection as we go. What's that do? That teaches your children that even going on vacation, you're relying on God. Might it be before you make an investment, you ought to pray and say, dear Father, give us the wisdom to be able to invest these funds. Might it be? Might it be you ought to pray before buying a car and say, Father, if this is the one that you want me to have, give me a great peace, guide me as to what to say, help me to get the best deal that I can get for your honor and for your glory. Might it be that God could use you to be a testimony of the very things that God would have for you. You know, even as our Lord was teaching the disciples how to pray, he said this, our Father which art in heaven. Yeah. What was he doing? He was teaching them how to pray. Right. He never prayed that prayer himself, but he was teaching the disciples, this is how you ought to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Always never forget that he's your Father. Never forget that he's the one that can help you. Never forget to run to him. Yes, when you have a boo-boo. When you have something that knocks you in the head. Oh, come on. Take off the facade. Well, you know, I can handle it. Well, how are you doing so far? Take off the facade. God wants us to come to him when you're hurting. God wants us to come to him when you got pain. God wants us to come to him when things are not going well. God wants you to come to him when it just seems like things are not working out. God wants you to come to him. Why? Because you're one of his children. He loves you, knows every hair on your head, knows the sparrow that falls from the nest, knows everything about you. I'm saying this. I'm saying that Jordan should not be looking at his grandfather right now trying to count his hairs. I saw that, Brother Adams. Okay? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying stand in awe. Just stand in awe. Stand in awe of your Father. That's important. You know, the Bible talks about let everyone that have breath praise the Lord. So if you got breath, hey, praise him. Amen. He's been good to you. Look, here's the thing. All of a sudden, you go through a trial. Okay, come on. All of a sudden, you go through a trial. Here you are. You get poochy lip. Walk along, poochy lip. Somebody come over, and as I said this morning, hey, man, it's going to be okay. I said, yes, it is. Look up. There he is. Look at Jesus. It's going to be okay. Now, wait a minute, but after I leave, he could go back to Poochie Lip Land. What do I need to do? I need to walk beside him a little bit, help him to read his Bible, help him to learn to pray, help him to come to church. By the way, church is a good thing. Yes. Help him to come to church, help him to have good Christians in his life. Why? Can't make it by himself. Need somebody else in his life to help him, encourage him, walk beside him, show him what truth is, and later on, hopefully, he'll mature enough to make it on his own. So what do? Sergio, come. Come here, Sergio. Sergio and I have been buddies for a long time. Sergio invited me to his birthday party last year, wasn't it? Had two trampolines, one for men, one for ladies. Saw my wife getting the trampoline for ladies. I thought, she can do it. I can do it. Man, I got on the trampoline, started bouncing. I've gained weight over the years. And don't laugh, it's not funny. But I've gained weight over the years. Man, Brother Ahe, I've got in there and I started jumping up and down. I would hit it, I would go up, and then my stomach would gradually follow the motion. All of a sudden, I had trouble breathing. I got too much of this, not enough of this. Now, I'm talking about lungs, not chest. I'm talking lungs, ability to breathe, okay? And so here I am. I'm jumping up and down. Man, my stomach's coming up, flying up underneath my chin. It's like, those kids are in there having a good time saying, come on, preacher, jump. I'm like, I can't. And finally, I start crawling out of the jump thing. I land on my back just trying to stretch out enough to breathe. And they're all laughing. Look at preacher. You know, having the time of their life. Now, wait a minute. But I've watched him grow over the years. He's grown this way. Yeah, he has. He's grown in his personality. I watched that. But I can also tell you this. He's watched me. He's watched me go soul winning. He's watched me preach. He's watched me give truth. Oh, wait, it's not done yet. He watched his dad and his mom. See, Hillary Clinton was wrong when she said it takes a community to raise a child. No, it doesn't. But it does take good people in your life, such as a mom and dad. Hey, having a pastor in your life that preaches the truth, that helps. Having a youth director in the life that takes you soul winning, that teaches you right. Having a music director in your life that leads you in the right way to sing. Having a Brother Craig in your life as you're older and you say, man, I tell you what, I just need that Reformers Unanimous. That could help me get back on pitch again or maybe going on the singles activities he's in charge of and so many other things. Now I'm saying, hey, God brings people in your life. Thank you, be seated. Watch this. I'm saying that we ought to always stand in awe of our Father. You ever hear a little boy say this? He says, my dad can beat your dad. Why does he say that? Because he's standing in awe of his Father. My daddy knows more than your daddy. What's he doing? He's standing in awe of his Father. Statement number one, stand in awe of your Father. Statement number two, stand in awe of his Word. Used to be, coming up, we would buy, I was raised on a 180-acre farm. Most of you know that, Millers, Maryland. We would sell tractors just by doing this. The guy would come over, he'd buy the tractor. Here's how we'd make the contract right here. God bless you. I'll have it at your house tonight. That's it. That was a binding contract. That's how we'd sell cars. God bless you. That's how we do it. In America today, it's not that way. You have to sign contracts in blood. It's just different. Now, can I tell you this? Okay, stand in awe of his word. The Bible says that you have not because you ask not. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. The Bible talks about you ought to be close to him. I remember one time I was on a plane and I was flying to Phoenix, Arizona. My wife was driving with the kids. They were coming down, I forget from what state, but they were going to meet me in Phoenix, Arizona. I was flying in. I was flying in from the Philippines and somehow or another had to land in Phoenix, Arizona. Or I was heading to Phoenix, Arizona to be with them is what it was. They were driving down from some state. And so I was preaching in the Philippines. I was flying in. And I remember they grounded the plane because we hit some very, very turbulent type of weather and I was going to be late. And I remember just praying as they came over. Listen to this. They came over the speaker and they said, we're going to have to make an emergency landing. Now, you don't think good things when that happens. But the pilot said, but it's going to be okay. Now, hey, if the pilot that's flying the thing thinks it's going to be okay, hey, then it's okay with me. Because after all, he's going to be the first one that gets killed if it goes down. Everybody starts panicking when stuff like that happens. I was in one plane one time. I was flying somewhere. All of a sudden, we went through the turbulent time. And all these baggage compartments start popping over, open, boom, boom, boom. Those, first time I ever saw it happen in my life, there's only three of them, but it was interesting to see that they worked. But all of a sudden, those oxygen things, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. All of a sudden, boom, that one fell. Boom, that one fell. Boom, that one fell. And I'm thinking, mine didn't fall. But again, you know, times where people that's in control, they said, man, it's going to be, I was preaching over in Bacolod, Philippines. There was an anti-American rally. They were burning flags down the street. You know, they came and they knocked on our doors. They said, please stay in your room. You know, and then it didn't last very long. Just a little while, it was done. It was done. They came back, knocked on the room. Everything's all right. Police came, took care of it. You guys are fine. I went to knock on my friend's door that was traveling with me at that time. I knocked. He didn't answer. I knocked again. He didn't answer. I knocked. I know he had to be in there. So I knocked harder. He didn't answer. So the next morning, he came to breakfast. I said, man, I came by just checking on you, make sure you're okay. Knocked on your door. You didn't answer. What happened? He said, I thought they were coming after me. And so he was up under the bed. True story. I said, wait a minute, you're my friend. You thought they were coming after you. Why didn't you come to me? He said, I figured you were a big enough boy, you could take care of yourself. All right? Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that how is it that you and I ought to see us as little? Rely on him. Rely on him. When the things happen in your life, rely on him. Trust him. Stand in awe as he is your father. Stand in awe as the word of God can help you. He said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Statement number three, stand in awe of his power. Stand in awe of his power. I remember preaching a youth camp many years ago up in North Carolina. There's a girl. She did not want to get saved. Some of the family remember that. She did not want to get saved. I give the invitation about receiving Christ. By the way, one of the most wonderful things you could ever do in your life is receive Jesus Christ. Man, I gave the invitation about receiving Christ. She didn't want to get saved. I mean, she was just, I've never seen it before in my life, Brother Travis. Never before. She's holding on to the front of the pew. Knuckles turning white. You know, she's red in the face. She's holding on. She didn't want to get saved. I gave the invitation like I did this morning. Gave the invitation, just going over it and over it and over it, four or five times. That's the way I do it. Four or five times, giving people an opportunity to respond. I did that. Seemed like the more I gave it, the tighter she would hold. She's making a statement. She's telling God, get out of my face. That's dangerous. Man, she's holding on to the back, front of that pew. And finally, the next night, gave an invitation. No response. Didn't want to get saved. Man, we started to pray. I asked the counselors, let's do this. Let's pray for that girl. That girl needs to be saved. We need to pray. So we started praying as camp counselors that she would get saved. And man, I think it was on the next night or the night following that, towards the end of the camp, all of a sudden she came. When she came, another person came. When she came, another person came. When she came, another person came. For you know it, there's a bunch of teenagers. Why? Because there was a girl that went from being big me to little me, and God became big in her life. Amen. That's all God wants. God just wants to become big in somebody's life. I was preaching in Potts Camp, Mississippi. Potts Camp. Can you imagine? You know, I'm preaching there. By the way, Potts Camp was named after a tree. There's a tree that's called Potts. Why would you name a tree called Potts? I don't know. But I was preaching there, small, rural, country church. Man, God was working, and the pastor said, can you stay Saturday? Just stay Saturday. Can you do it? I said, sure. So I stayed over Saturday, gave an invitation for people to come out on Friday, had the greatest soul winning crowd he's ever had in the history of the church. There was a man sitting on the back row. I thought, I'm gonna get him. I'm going to help him. I'm going to inspire him. I'm going to preach a message, short one, but I'm going to preach a message on hell. Go get him. They're going to perish and burn in hell. Go get them. There was a man, after I first started preaching, he zipped out, looked like he was mad. Went out through the front of a church, got in his truck, and tore out of there. I thought, man, I must have really offended him. There was a girl I'd witnessed to. I think she's 16, 17, 18 years of age, something like that. Witnessed to her several times on the street. I'd stop her, give her a plan of salvation, very small town. She's always roaming the streets. I was out soul winning during the day. I'd just stop by and give her another track. Here's how to get saved. Come to our meeting. We'd love to have you. I'd sometimes be able actually to start to get a salvation plan in before she'd take off. The man that left was her dad. The man that was going to take me by later on to see her was her uncle. He said, I think she's ready to be saved. Can you witness to her one more time? I said, sure. So he took me and the pastor over. We're going down these dirt roads, find a trailer way out in the woods, knock on the door. Mom comes to the door, says, come in. We go in. I sit down. Girl comes out. When she sees me, she gets pale as a ghost. She said, you're here again. I said, I am. Your uncle invited me. Where's your dad? I don't know. I thought, man, that was the guy that left. He was mad. Hope everything's going to be okay. I said, well, let me do this. I've got to leave. Let me give you the plan of salvation one more time, and I've got to go. And so showed her how to be saved. She started crying. I noticed as I was going through the plan of salvation, there's a silhouette walking on the back of the porch. Big, big fella. Looked like the silhouette of her dad. He had something in his hand. I thought, man, he's got a gun. I'm going to die. You know, I thought, well, let's go ahead. Let's see if we can get her saved real quick, because if I die, I'd like for her to go to heaven. So I'm witnessing, giving it everything I've got, showing her quickly as I can how to be saved. That man's walking back and forth on the porch. Saw the silhouette coming through as the sun shined against the window that was closed in the door. And then I just kept praying, she'll get saved. And all of a sudden, as I'm starting to lead her in prayer, the door pops open and in walks the dad. He's crying. He said, when you were talking about hell, I just saw my daughter. I knew she was going to burn in hell. I went and I got in the woods and I prayed and I said, dear God, please send somebody today. I don't want my daughter to die and go to hell. Please send somebody today to take the Bible to show her how to be saved. God, would you send just anybody? And God touched that uncle's heart that drove me and the pastor down to show that girl how to be saved. He got on his knees with his wife, and he got on knees with his daughter, put his arm around his daughter as her daughter prayed to receive Christ as Savior. Hey, what is that? Little me, big God. Amen. Little me, big God. See, God does all the saving. Amen. All he's looking for is vessels. Amen. Yeah, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, listen, as different things has happened in our church, can I tell you, here's the thing that breaks my heart is that I don't want somebody to die and go to hell. I don't want somebody to burn in hell over a testimony or something like that. I want everybody to get the gospel. I want everybody to be reached. I want everybody to be cared for. I want everybody to have the opportunity to be able to hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Why? Because people are going to die and people are going to burn in hell. May I say this? I'm saying that to stand in awe of his power. Somebody said you need ESP. That's extra celestial perception. Also stands for this, ESP, enough sense to pray. I think we need that. We just need enough sense to say, okay, God, you can do this. Last story, I was in Brooklyn, New York. I was a fifth grade teacher. Brooklyn, New York, back in the 1980s. We'd always take the kids down to Prospect Park. That was a park that was in central New York, close to our church on Vanderbilt Street. We'd always take them down there to play. And this day was no different. We took them down there. I was fifth grade teacher. Never forget, we had a little short fellow in my class. His name was Wilson Perez. Remember Wilson? Wilson Perez, short little guy, about like this. Of course, all fifth graders was about like that. But he's a short little guy, fifth grader. Never forget it. I'd take them down there. I'd play softball with them. Throw them the ball. They'd hit it. Had some outfielders to get it. Had a great time. We're leaving the park. Wilson, maybe because he was so short, he was extra short as a fifth grader. You know, kind of a little stubby guy. But, you know, he had a hard time keeping up. And I was like, come on, Wilson, you can catch us. Come on, let's go. Let's go. I was always trying to get him to catch up. And all of a sudden, out of the woods came a gang of kids, rough-looking guys, you know. And so, man, they came, had some knives, you know, and they started to harass him. They wanted his wallet. And I look back, and here are these big guys. Here's little Wilson, short little stubby guy, scared to death. I thought, man, I don't know what to do. So I grabbed the bat, and I ran towards them. I said, you leave that boy alone. Had the bat in my hand. Leave him alone. Hey, I'm coming there. Leave him alone. I started charging. You said, what were you thinking? I don't know. Said, what would you have done if they would have threw the knives? Ducked, rolled, caught them in my teeth. I don't know. All I know is this. There was a little boy needed some help. So I took the bat, went running to protect him. Now, may I say this? Listen to me tonight. I'm saying, in that case, here I am, I'm still little me because I'm praying the whole time. Dear God, dear God, please protect him and me. Now, I'm saying this tonight. Here I am. I'm done. I'm saying stand in awe of God's power. Stand in awe. Jonathan, he's a little kid back then, so little we could hold him. Sort of like Noah today, but maybe a little bit older. I think he's probably 6. But I remember he had a high fever. Oh, true story, true story. You remember this, don't you? High fever, yeah, okay. So he had a high fever. So I told Sylvia, I said, honey, we got to get him to the hospital, Forest Hill Hospital. That's when I served on staff in Mississippi. I said, we got to go. I'll carry him. So I had him in my arms. I said, you drive, I'll carry him. I put him in my arms, put him in my lap. We got to the Forest Hill Hospital, and we looked at each other and said this. You remember? We said, we hadn't even prayed yet. Here we're rushing him into a hospital. We hadn't prayed. God's the great physician. We hadn't prayed one time. I said, why don't we do this before we take him in? Let's pray. So we prayed, and man, you know, both of us being young parents, he was our firstborn, still is our firstborn. So we got him in there. We started to pray and said, dear God, please, this is your little one. Would you please remove the fever? Would you do that? God, if you do that, we're going to tell everybody what you did. Would you please do that? And all of a sudden, fever left. What is that? Little me, big God. Man, I can give you story after story after story. Mom said, let's go to Hanover. I was stupid back then. Sitting in the back of the car. My big brother, I think I was about 6, 7, or 8. I don't remember. My big brother said this. He said, hey, you remember seeing that show on TV? How when the car was moving fast? He said, remember somebody fell out of the car and they just rolled? He said, you think you could do that? I said, yeah, I do. I think I could. He said, good. He popped the lock button, popped it, pulled it up, opened the door, and pushed me. My mother's driving driving over, I forget where, but anyway, going shopping. And here, my brother that loved me so much pushed me out of the door. You say, what happened? I rolled. And I kept rolling. And I rolled off the side into the grass. All of a sudden, my mom backs up. She's hollering at Dave. My older brother's in heaven right now. And no, that's not why he went to heaven. No, my older brother was not killed by my mother. I don't want you to think that. I mean, he's in heaven watching. That's what I'm trying to say. And so, but man, pushed me out. Brother Lap, you got to help me. So pushed me out of the car. And here, man, I'm rolling and rolling and rolling. And by the way, she backs up. She's hollering at my brother, saying, what in the world are you thinking? You could have killed your brother. You know, she backs up, almost ran over me. She comes out. She says, Michael, what are you doing falling out of the car? I said, it's his fault. She said, what are you doing listening to your brother? Now, what? How did I survive? Little me. By the way, I was little back then. Big God. Big God. Can I give you one more? I got to go. When I was in high school, man, I stuttered so bad. You know the story. Man, I stuttered so bad. I was really embarrassed. I did not want to be a preacher. I just didn't want to do it. All I wanted to be is a police officer. That's all I wanted to be. I went to Bible college not to be a preacher. I went to Bible college to learn the Bible. That's it. Didn't want to be a preacher. In high school, I stuttered all the time. All the time. Just stuttered. It was horrible. Had to take speech classes, speech therapist teachers. That's horrible. Embarrassing. I'd stutter all the time. Then all of a sudden, I was in Bible college, my second year. God started working on my heart, saying, I want you to be a preacher. You know, a couple of times I said, no, God, you don't want me. You know, I think you're talking to the guy five rows back. Not me. But he kept speaking to my heart, speaking to my heart, speaking to my heart. When I surrendered to preach, honest before the Lord, God started taking all of the stammering away. Now, I can preach almost an entire message without a stammering, without stuttering, almost an entire message. Now, why? Little me, big God. Whenever we realize that it's not about us, it's not about your talent, and I love you, and we have talented people in this room. It's not about your depth of understanding. We got great Bible students in this room. But it's about you and your relationship with God and letting God use you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.